This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, good everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I am Jeremy Lopez, and I hope you guys had a good week. I know so far my week has been really good. It's been a little busy. You know, weather's been getting a little better, but it's actually been pretty hot here in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, some people say, man, I bet Birmingham is very hot. I said, yes, it is very hot here. But, you know, we have really good season, so I can't complain. So I hope your city, your weather is doing good today. Definitely from where you're located around the world. We have so many thousands of people who tune into our podcast. I'm so honored and thrilled. We have them from Taiwan. Hello. Big shout out to Taiwan. We have a lot of listeners in Taiwan. I usually like to go there and speak throughout the years, and have a lot of listeners in D.C., have a lot of listeners in Oregon, have a lot of listeners in New York, Florida, Texas, California. You're probably one of our biggest supporters. So shout out to all the thousands of people there in California. We so honor every one of you, no matter where you're located, and I just thank God that, you know, you guys are obviously just tuning in to something different, tuning into something because you're hungry and thirsty for something better, something greater than just the simplicity of life, you know? I mean, and sometimes people say, I just want the simple things of life, and that's fine, but you know what I've realized is we're made for more. We're made not for the complicated, but we're made for the deep. We're made for so much more than just general, you know, generic simplicity. We're made to change and to shift and to alter and to challenge, and all this stuff I'm saying that all of you might be projecting outwardly, it's all projected inwardly first. I got to challenge myself first. I got to change myself first. The world I got to change is the world of me. And so there's a lot of things in this podcast you'll find throughout the years that I like to sort of turn it around from what religion says and a lot of other religious, you know, podcasts, or turn it around from what motivational speakers might say, and find the balance between the two of things that are pretty much, we could say, more proper, more correct, you know, of how we should view our lives. You know, for example, before I talk about the podcast today, I want to give you an example. I think sometimes people, you know, when you read articles, for example, and people ask me, you know, what are good, you know, things to do to get closer to God? You know, what are things to, you know, to do to really get myself, you know, ready to receive more from God? And yet a lot of people come to me because they're used to reading articles or going to counselors or going, you know, Christian counselors or going to certain people in the Christian world. And a lot of times people will give them the step 1, 2, 3. And that is, you know, pray, read your Bible, you know, spend time at home with the Lord. I mean, those are very generic things. Doesn't mean that we're watering down those things and that they're not important, because they are. But the truth is, you know, we can't just memorize something and then go on autopilot and say, here's what you do. Pray hard, pray hard, pray hard. You know, read the Bible. Well, the key thing is you're leaving out the presence of the adventure of the Holy Spirit. You're leaving out the power of a beautiful experience of life that God's given you, that God is involved in every detail of your life. And the key thing of finding God in the unseen and the seen, and the colors and the black and white, and finding God in the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, the hard times and the beautiful times, and finding God in the smiles of a child, finding God in death of a parent. I mean, that might sound a little hard on that one, but the truth is, you know, God is bigger than just reading a book. And once again, we're not, you know, watering down the Bible by far. You should read the Bible. But I'm saying, as a Christian, we can't put God in a box to say, this is what you do to get closer to God. I mean, I think God is bigger than the Bible. I mean, to be honest with you, I think God that He's bigger than the Bible. You know, I wouldn't want to serve a God that just limits Himself into a book on pages. You know, I don't want to limit God into just, you know, finding Him in my prayer. I mean, when I don't pray, does that mean I don't find Him? Does that mean I don't discover Him? Does that mean He's things know around me, you know. And that's one thing I love about science, because to me, science is beautiful. A lot of it, not maybe not all of it, but a lot of it's beautiful. You know, when I look at the Bible, do I say, you know, a lot of it's beautiful, a lot of it's not? Well, that's true. I mean, I don't find, you know, killing babies in a war when the Old Testament says, you know, go and kill everyone. I don't find that beautiful. Sorry, folks, but I don't. So I don't like to say the Bible's a love letter, nor do I like to say the Bible's beautiful, because a lot of it's not. But the truth is, I've learned to cipher through and find the principles of things that I know in this world and in the Bible that I know work for me, that's relevant for me right now. That the spirit that is fluid, the spirit that is energy, the spirit that is unlimited, that I can pull upon the Holy Spirit to begin to decide and find out what the Holy Spirit wants for me now that's relevant, that's modern, that's for me in my now moment. And so that's where I like to discover that God is in science, and God is out of science, and God is in all things, and God is not in all things. I mean, God is so God that you can't really put God into a box. And so my point being is, I think sometimes it's easier for people to listen to this podcast because we like to dive into the deep. We like to dive into making God who God is, and that is everything. And not putting God in a box and say, you want to get close to God, pray. Want to get close to God, read the Bible. Well, that's fine and dandy, but, you know, and then what happens when you don't? You know, what happens when you're not reading the Bible? Guess what? Then you've caused a person to be in fear, and then they get into legalism. That's not what God meant for us. I mean, folks, the Bible wasn't even put together until hundreds of years later, you know, after Christ left the earth. I mean, so what do they do between now and then? You know, what did all these people do in the Bible that didn't have a Bible? I mean, you know, so you can't really do that. You can't say that to people because it just creates fear and it creates worry and it creates a God who is totally saying, if you do this, I'm here. If you don't, I'm not here. You know, pray hard. Does that mean if I pray soft? That God won't hear me? What does pray hard actually mean? And so that's why I think people tune into this podcast, because they realize there's a lot more to discover about the things of the kingdom of God than there are things of just, you know, pray hard, read the Bible, you know, meditate, or go to church. You know, I mean, okay, wow. So, you know, hey, by the way, Hitler, by the way, got news for you. Here's the three steps you want to, you know, you want to get to heaven. Here's three steps you want to, you know, do to get close to God. Hitler, go for it. I mean, you can't do that because that means anyone and everyone can just do that. And so you got to remember, you got to allow God to be expressive in the nature in which God is, when it deals with you as an individual, and what God would want to say to you as an individual, what is unique, what is authentic from what the Spirit of God wants to say to you. If God is not into authenticity, and God is not into originality, and God is so generic that all he has is, you know, thus saith the Lord, obey step one, step two, step three, and you are fine. Then you know what? Really, I don't need anything else. I mean, why even search for God? Why even do anything that's a deeper level to understand God within this world or science or creation or heavens or kingdom? I mean, why even waste my time? So there is a lot more, folks, than just step one, step two, step three. And if you think about it, the Pharisees and Sadducees loved that. They really loved the steps of us for no more. Here's what you do. Either you do it or you don't. You're in or you're out. You know, and really, if we consider you worthy enough according to what you do or how much you make, I mean, hey, we'll let you in. I mean, you know, does that really want today? So no, the reason why most people listen to my podcast is because I'm not going to give them step one, step two on an autopilot simplicity of the Christian walk, because it's so easy to say and it's just nothing but pure watered down, you know, things stealing and robbing from people the truth that God is not just bigger, but God is creative, and God loves you as an individual, and God sees your authenticity, and God works according to how he created you in how you perceive things and how you receive things and how you look at things, because you are wonderfully and fearfully created. And that doesn't sound like a generic person to me. That doesn't sound like a person that is just very watered down, robotic in nature, autopilot in nature, that all you've got to do is do these three steps and bam, there you go. So I'm sorry, but when people say that to you, folks, it's a disrespect to you. It's a very big disrespect to you. So I think that's why people come to my books and my podcast and my courses, because I open the door. I open the Pandora box to say, let God out of religion and let God be what God is. And that's why I'm not afraid to cross a line when people, you know, say, oh, how dare you say that God is not a father. You know, oh, what's about to say? He's not. If you know the Jewish culture, you'll realize God likened himself unto a father and told us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, because in that culture of the day, hello, they understood that what a man has, the power man has, the firstborn son gets the inheritance. I mean, they understood this. But yet God says, you know, I am spirit. Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. And so that blows your theory right there. So to say God is mother, is that blasphemy? To say that God is mother and father, but yet neither? If I was to say God is male and female, but yet God is neither, is that scriptural? It's more scriptural than saying God is father. Think about that. It's more scriptural than saying God is Father, because once again, you're putting a limitation on God, saying what God is and what God is not, and God makes it very plain in His Word. You might pray this way, but who am I talking to? And by what culture am I talking to? And yet, if you want to worship me, then I'm going to give you the unlimited, for lack of better words, breaking open the Pandora box to let you know I had neither but yet both. And so, no, I'm not afraid to cross that line. Because I think Christians as a whole, most of them are hungry enough to say, I am tired of what religion's taught me. I'm sick and tired of people telling me what God is and what God is not. And to be honest with you, I'm glad you're feeling that way. Sometimes it's good to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes it's good to say, I've had enough. I'm tired of everyone telling me these steps. And so guess what? I'm thrilled. I'm happy for you that you've decided to tune into something like this, because once again, you know what? We can say we are God-centered, we're Christ-centered, and that's 100% true, but I'm not afraid to cross the boundary of what Christians are scared, because they're scared they're going to lose money. They're scared to really, really talk about what's truly in the Bible. You know, when God says it rains upon the just and the unjust, when God says everything, you know, was made by me and everything was made for me, and there was nothing that was made that was not made by me. He's letting you know, I made everything for me. Everything's everything. You know, when people try to say, oh, you sound like a universalist, oh, you sound like, you know, I'm like, you know what, you can say what you want and call me whatever you want to, but you can't argue with what you believe in the scriptures. I mean, everything means everything, all means all. And so I'm not afraid, you know, of people trying to, you know, title me, call me this, call me that. I mean, the truth is here. Here's what I realize. I'm a huge lover of people and a huge person of grace. But when someone tries to label you, you have to remember, if you're that person that feels like that you thrive on labels and you thrive on having to be able to wrap your brain around someone by saying, oh, you know what, they're universalists, oh, they're Baptist, oh my gosh, they're Pentecostal, oh my gosh, you know, they're prophet, they're apostle. If you're that person that you feel you've got to label something, because if you're honest with you, you need your mind renewed. And please don't take that the wrong way, but you need your mind renewed. Because the mind of Christ is not like the mind of man. And God lets us know that the understanding of man is not something you go by. You don't go by what your seer feel. You know, when you can't wrap your brain around something that you can't understand, guess what? The Bible says what? I'll give you peace that surpasses that. And so peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. Your natural mind can do nothing but break you. Your natural mind can do nothing but fragment you when you put your trust and faith in it. Does that make sense? But when you put your faith and trust in peace, and you put your faith and trust in realizing I don't have to label everything, I don't have to be able to find myself to say, you know, that I have to judge you by labeling you, because the truth is that shows not only is your mind not renewed, but it shows that you're quick to move in comfort, because comfort says I've got to put you in a box in order for me to figure you out. And then when you put someone in a box, here's what you do. Once you put someone in a box, then you will automatically judge them according to the definition of what people have said that label is. Now, let me ask you a very honest question. Is that really fair and right to people? I mean, think about that. Is it really right and fair to someone to say, oh, you know what? You're this, you're this, you're this. And then automatically your mind is going to 101% go to the definition of what you know that label is, and that's why you labeled them. Because it's easier for you to judge somebody and put a label on them and judge them according to the definition of what the whole world, or maybe ignorant people or smart people, have labeled them and of what that definition is for that label. Is that really, tell me the truth, folks, seriously. Would you want that done to you? What if someone came to you and what if someone said this to you? Now you guys know I just totally love everyone. I mean, I'm like a huge lover of people. But let's just go there for a moment because I want to really get, I love to break your paradigm. You know, because when God breaks mine, I'm like, let me pass it down. Let me pass down the breaking, you know, of the paradigm. And I know you're like me and I'd love to do that with people because I love people and I love to see people have an eye-opening experience. But what if, for example, if I was to look at you and I saw you in public and I said, oh my God, you are fat. You are like a fat cow. Now, let's just go there for a moment because I am not that person because I think it's rude and crude and ugly. But let's just go there for a moment. If I was to say, oh my God, you're a fat cow. Let me ask you an honest question. Is that fear to you knowing that I don't know maybe why you're overweight? Is it fair to you to judge you by according to the definition of what someone would say when they call you a fat cow? Think about this for a moment. What is a fat cow? What is the definition of the worldly sense of like calling someone a fat? I don't know where the cow came in, but you know, that's what people call the fat cow. So what would be the definition? That definition would be something effect of you're lazy, you gorge and eat food, you know, you don't do anything, you probably sit there and eat your Twinkies and ice cream all day long. I mean, isn't that like the old joke? Man, they've been eating too many Twinkies, you know, or they have no discipline. Is that fair to you who's struggling to lose weight? Is it fair to someone who's skinny and really and maybe eating healthy or maybe not eating healthy and yet they're trying to gain weight but they can't, for someone to say, Lord, you look like a little runt? You know, I've had people in my past tell me, I've had people say, man, you look like the run of the two. Whenever I'm with my friends, because I'm, you know, I was, of course, I'm still a little thin, but you know, or maybe people say, I actually had a lady tell me one year, you look like a little Ethiopian. And I thought, ooh, that sounds a little racist, you know, that sounds a little judgmental, you know, and it sounds offensive because people love labels. They love name calling because those names have a powerful definition in a negative way behind it. And once again, it's easier to say, oh, look at that fat cow, because all of a sudden what happens is it's easier at that moment to automatically say, look, they're lazy. Look, they overweight, they do this. It's easier to feel that way because automatically we can empower ourselves by the comfort. Think about it. The comfort that definition brings. I can see that about you. I can see that about her. I can see that about him. Think about that for a moment. So is it fair and right to label people? Is it fair and right to say, oh, when you're alluding towards this verse, I know what you are. I know what you believe. Is that fair to people? You know, it is. If you think of it, it's really deep in our flesh, deep in our blood to judge people. Do you realize it's so deep in us? And sometimes we always say, man, I am totally not judgmental. And yet I feel the same way. I feel like sometimes I look at myself and I say, I really don't care what a person is or what a person does. I truly don't care. I'm just totally not judgmental. But yet, you know what? I can feel that from the bottom and the depth of my heart. No matter who or what a person is that stands in front of me, if they say, I'm a transgender Hindu, I mean, you know, I'd be like, okay, well, all right. You know, that's your life. I'm still gonna love you. I won't even love you 1 ounce less than I would someone who is a quote unquote, let's label people for a moment, on fire Christian, born again, sanctified, charismatic tongue talker. I mean, you know, I'm trying to get the highest of the highest as what you know, most charismatic people would want to label it or call it. You know, and I would totally love 101% both people the exact same. And you might say, well, don't you have an obligation to teach them the gospel? Well, let's look at Jesus. I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus didn't even do that. Jesus said, go and preach the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. Well, what is the kingdom? Righteousness, which means right standing. It means, are you standing right before the Lord? Are you standing right? Well, you know, I can't judge that. I mean, how can I judge your heart? Man looks on the outside, God looks in the heart. Can I judge your heart to see if you're right standing? Well, you know, brother, you know, you go by the fruit. Very true. But can I be honest with you? I've seen a lot of Christians, and many of you right now listening to me thinking, oh gosh, Jeremy, amen, brother. Preach it. But I've seen people that were not Christian people. I've even seen a Buddhist before. I kid you not. Bear forth more fruit of compassion and humility and joy and denial of self, denial of materialistic goods, denial of so many things, and truly a compassionate person to animals, to butterflies, to people, and yet totally even almost bow before them in their presence and just in the sense of loving them, respecting them, than I have seen a lot of Christian people. be very honest with you. So, you know, you got to be careful when you automatically say, you got to go buy the fruit, you got to get this, you got to do this. Well, that's true, you do. You really do. And I agree with that completely. But you have to also remember, it's so easy to look at people and try to figure them out and place them in a label, place them in a comfort zone, because it makes you feel better. And let's just face it, folks, it does. I mean, have I ever judged people for? Oh gosh, absolutely. You know, I don't want to be that you know, spiritual hypocrite to say I've never judged a person. You know, but can I look at people and say I 100% love each one of you, and I don't want to judge each one of you, and it's my obligation to stand before you. I don't care if you are a Christian or a Hindu. You know, it's not like I let my hair down before you because if I had hair. You know, if you're a Christian, and yet when you're Hindu, or let's use what I just said, you know, a transgender Hindu whatever guru, we'll just keep on adding the titles to them. You know, would I act any different in front of them than I would a Christian? Not one bit. You know why? Because everybody, I just want my light to shine in front of. That way I'm not judging anybody. I'm just living my truth. I'm living the light of the truth that God's called me to live and my authenticity, and I'm going to live that light out loud. And living the light out loud means sometimes I don't even have to open my mouth, because teaching the kingdom of God is right standing. Because when I'm living, here's the difference. I would rather live the kingdom than I would feel like I have to, you know, go out and shout to people about where they're going. You know, where's your destination after life, brother? You know, and I'm like, well, wow, Jesus never did that. Oh, wait a minute, hold on a minute. The disciples never did that either. Wow, that's really interesting. Disciples went about preaching the kingdom of God, and before Jesus was even crucified, and then afterwards, they still preach the kingdom of God. And then Paul said one time, he said, hey, here's what you do. You preach Christ and Him crucified. Okay, that's cool. Because you know what? Once again, there's still no scare tactic in that. It's a true authenticity according to what the scriptures say that we should talk about. And so we're talking about the kingdom. It's right standing. It's righteousness. It's peace. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Think about it. I'm supposed to go around preaching peace. Oh, but brother, you know what they say about preaching peace? No, we're not going to preach peace. We're in a divine, we're a huge warfare. Well, it's interesting to me, then Jesus really has missed it, like totally. Like he is off his rocker. Like, I mean, truthfully, think about it. Jesus is totally 100% off his rocker, because according to modern day American Christianity, because preaching the kingdom is what he told us to preach, is righteousness or right standing, peace. So he's telling me to preach peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I'm supposed to preach joy? Wow, that doesn't sound like a serious fear factor to me. Man, once again, God love you, Jesus. You just keep on missing it. One day you'll get it right. One day you'll get it right to know the Western world knows better than you. And the American church knows better than you. God, man, come on, Jesus. Get it together. You know? I mean, that's the truth of the matter, folks. Because you've got to look at the scriptures, what it really means, what it really says of how to live and what to talk about and how to begin to act. I mean, you know, we've got to look at these things and realize it's time for us to reevaluate our beliefs. It's time for us to reevaluate our lives. It's time for us to reevaluate everything about us and not trust preachers so quickly. We love them. God knows we love them. We bless them for what they do. But you can't expect a preacher to know everything, nor can you expect a preacher to live quote-unquote right in everything that is perfect, because he's not going to do it. No one is. He or she won't. And so, no, I don't put my faith and trust solely in my church or my pastor or a prophet or no one. I put my sole trust in God. And that means God as the Spirit of God. And that's why the Bible never says I live by the Bible. It says I'm led by the Bible. It says I'm led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows there's things in my life I can do the Bible doesn't say for me to do and where my feet should walk. Bible never tells me to go get groceries. Bible never tells me to open up a Christian bookstore. Bible never tells me to open up an auto shop. You know, Bible never tells me probably 90% of the things that we do on an everyday basis in the Bible. And that's okay. It doesn't disrespect the Bible by far. In fact, it adds to. That's why the book of Acts never had an ending. The book of Acts never had an ending because it's still going on. Because the Spirit of God is not subject to or blocked in the Bible. It's being led by the Spirit of God saying, oh, I get it, God. This is what you want me to do. And that way, if we're led by the Spirit, then we can't judge people. Because how am I going to judge someone who actually says, you know, something to the effect of, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. Oh, that's not God. Well, how on earth would you know? So are you blaspheming the Holy Spirit or telling him that he's not telling me the truth? You know, are you cutting me down? You know, I mean, so you have to be careful and realize, what if God put these things in place and religion is trying to block the freedom to where it can control us more and tell us exactly what to do, what to believe, and it can bring something from the scriptures to twist them to say, this is not what you're doing, and what you're doing is not right. Here, you can't do that. Because if I'm led by the Spirit, how dare you try to tell me I'm not being led by the unlimitedness of the Spirit of the living God? Are you with me? Because that's what I'm told to be led by. And that's what I'm saying to you today. This podcast has been given to, hopefully, maybe, by faith, you know, we can break paradigms as I grow with you and you grow with me and as we can learn together. Have I been in ministry for 30 years? Absolutely I have. Have I studied and shown myself approved? Sure I have. Have I gone to Bible college and studied the Greek and Hebrew? Absolutely I have. But you know what I realized? We're still on a journey together, folks. Doesn't make me any different than you. It just means I've just been doing this a lot longer, but it doesn't make me any better than you. That's it. It means that we're still constantly growing, and I'm still working on my own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Bible talks about. And if I can work on me and pull the plague out of my own eye and be led in my own authenticity of what the Spirit of God is showing me from my originality, then you know what? We're gonna all just be fine, and we're gonna live in joy and happiness, and we're gonna see people's lives touched because we're sort of preaching, for lack of better words, or teaching or living out the thing in which we're called to live out. And not tell somebody some things that God would never told us to tell people. You know? Romans Road to Salvation. It's awesome, guys. Guess what? But nowhere did Jesus tell us to do that. You know? I mean, you have to look at your life and say, here's what I would say to each one of you today. Look at your life on every single solitary belief you believe in. And ask yourself this question. Has someone told me to believe this? I don't care how wonderful, genuine, loving, kind, gracious, or mean they are. You got to ask yourself the question, because you're not coming against them. You're coming against maybe their old paradigm that they didn't realize was wrong. So what you're doing is you're reevaluating yourself. You're reevaluating what you believe, no matter how many times it's been passed down. Well, brother, my grandfather was a Church of God, Baptist, Assembly God, non-denominational. He was a holy... I don't care if he was God's best man on earth. It doesn't mean he's always right. And it just doesn't mean you're disrespecting him by coming against his theology and sort of just not really coming against it, but reevaluating. It's okay to do that. And I think you need to reevaluate every single solitary thing you believe. I mean, every detail of every single doctrine you think you believe that you've got down pat that is part of your foundation. You should root up all that stuff. And let me ask you a question. Do you think God is threatened by us to reevaluate what we believe? Or do you think he applauds us? Think about that for a moment. When his word says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, the option, life and death is in the power of your tongue. You know, mercy triumphs over judgment, which means basically choose mercy. You know, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. So what does God want from us? He wants us to continuously be seekers, not build a groundwork and say, my groundwork is fixed, which what we're saying is my groundwork is perfect. I never want to touch that. So everything, according to what I believe nowadays, has to line up to my groundwork. That's sort of still a little dangerous place, guys, because your foundation is probably still given like the rest of us in a very warped way, or maybe men or women who didn't really understand the fullness of what they're trying to lay, you know, in their groundwork, and you just accepted it. It's okay to pull up every single solitary thing of how you see the Bible, how you see God, how you see yourself, and reevaluate every bit of it. It actually, if you know the truth about it, God would applaud you. He would applaud seekers more than anything. God loves seekers. I mean, think about Paul in the Bible wrestling with between law and grace over and over and over again, wrestling, going back. In fact, if you read the scriptures, he went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. One chapter it's law, next chapter it's grace. Next chapter it's law, next chapter it's grace. Do you think God looked at him and said, you're like a political person going back and forth. I condemn you. No. God was actually applauding him because he's working out his salvation with fear and trembling. He's trying to find through and try to burn away the chaff and the stubble. He's trying to burn away, you know, the tares from the wheat. He's working himself through a fight every day. And I want to encourage you, do the same thing if you have to. Do the same thing. Go back to your groundwork and say, here's what I do. Here's what I did in my life. Why do I believe in speaking in tongues? Well, the Bible said, no, hold on. Don't let that be the first thing in your mind. Well, the Bible says this. Because what you're going to do is you're going to hear from your old mentors and the people you respected. I would say, you know what, here's what I need. I need to take a journey this month and find out why I do speak in tongues. Take a journey this month and find out exactly why I do believe in what I believe in. And take a journey and say, you know what, I've been told to extend grace to these people but not these people, or to avoid these people and not these people. You know what I would do? I would say, why? Who told me that? And why am I doing that? You've got to learn to question your life. Do you know what a life coach does and a counselor? Is they answer a question with a question, because they get your mind stirred up to think and to dive in there and to challenge your paradigm of why you believe what you believe, and then dive deeper into that foundation of the paradigm and say, who told you this? Why is it a truth for you? And when you do that, folks, your life begins to turn. You become like energy, like science talks about. You become like energy in which you are energy. You become that person that it begins to automatically start flowing. And once the gears of your mind start flowing, there is no telling, guys, where you'll end up. Well, I'm just scared I'll get off an error. I mean, come on, seriously? Are you really that fearful? Do you really not trust God that much when He tells you, trust me? You know, will I give you bread if you ask for? I mean, if you ask for bread, would I actually give you a stone? I mean, is that what kind of God you think I am? Then you know what I would do? I would evaluate my relationship with God, because obviously you're seeing a God of fear. And don't even want to say this. I'll just use this example: bipolar. You see God as a mean, cannot wait to get you, cannot wait to strike you, and don't you dare step out of my wheel because I will get you good, boy. No, you need to reevaluate that God and throw that God to the curb. Because that is not the God of Scripture. It's not the God of the New Testament. You should never be afraid of God to that measure. You know, God has no issue at all with you being a seeker. In fact, He tells us in His Word to walk by faith. Really? You're asking me to walk by blind faith? Walk into something that I don't even know of before God? God said, that's right, absolutely. Because I need that energy in you stirred up. I need you to constantly be looking and seeking and finding. That's the way of God's kingdom. So, let this podcast be something that will be eye-opener to you. Challenge yourself. Dive into why you feel and believe the way you do. And when you do, you'll come out so amazing at that place where you'll say, wow, you know what? I'm seeing so much more than I've ever seen before. And you know what God will say? God will start clapping. Ah, I applaud you. Way to go, son or daughter. Way to go. That's my kid right there. That's my child. I want them to be able to walk on the water and not be afraid to ask. Not be afraid to challenge themselves. No one wants someone's going to sit in the boat and say, oh God, I'm going to sit here and just sing just as I am because I know you and I know everything about you and I got my foundation and I'm not going to let anyone try to sway me off that. Really? Come on. What do you think God does with that? Do you think God says, way to go, child, you're sounding like a cult. Oh, way to go, you're sounding so closed-minded like a cult. I love it. Think about that. Isn't that what cults do? Christianity is about challenging. Christianity is about asking the questions. Christianity is about walking on the water by blind faith, in which you have no clue where you're about to go, no clue what's even ahead of you. That's true Christianity. So my question to you today would be this, before I close. Are you in a cult of Christianity? Think about that. Are you a cultish? Is your mindset cultish when it deals with Christianity? Or are you a true, powerful person who believes in Christ and honors and is not afraid to walk on the water and ask the questions? Is that, which one are you today? Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You guys really mean the world to me. I consider every one of our people that are subscribers and partners of the ministry, those on our book club, those who are partnering with us, those who write in for prophetic words, I consider every one of you as family. You might say, well, you don't know me. I don't have to know you. I know that if I've prophesied to you, spoke with you, life coaching, or seen your name, I just feel in my spirit that, you know what? It's a place to just see the Christ in people. That's all that matters. It's just seeing the good, seeing the Christ in people. That's all I care about. And I trust you to know that you're taking care of yourself. That you're honoring yourself by walking on the water of faith and not being afraid to challenge your own paradigm. You know, if you truly love who you are, then don't be afraid to say, God, I love myself enough to know that if I've got any garbage, any wrong thinking, any wrong theology, any wrong doctrines, that I want to bring those up to the surface, vomit those out, for lack of better words, and rediscover you again and again and again. And not just again and stop, but again and again and again. You're hitting the refresh button every day you do that. And it's healthy for you, and it's good for you. And your Heavenly Father loves that. God loves that. He loves a good challenge when His people iron sharpen iron themselves. Are you with me? Hey, by the way, my newest book just came out, guys. I am so thrilled. It's called You Already Have It All. If you are a person that really doubts that everything, you know, that everything in life is outside of you, you need this book. If you think for a moment that, hey, I know the kingdom message, no, let me tell you something. You get this book, you're going to really see where the kingdom is going to open up to you in such a broader way. You're going to realize how much you've had the kingdom, how you've always had the kingdom in you, and exactly knowing that there's nothing on the outside of you that completes you or that actually you can ever get your hands on, because you have to have it internally first. This book is going to rock your world. Here's what I tell people. We've sold a lot of them, by the way. Here's what I tell people. You Already Have It All, the new book I have out, is actually a kingdom book on steroids. I'm telling you the truth, guys. You would love it. And if you write in, please let us know. Oh, go to the website, identitynetwork.net. Let us know. I'd be more than happy to autograph it for you. All right? You guys have a blessed day. Get the book today and have a dynamic day. And do not forget, like I always say, go and create your day today. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.